And take your Bibles, if you would, please, this evening, and open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 in the Word of God tonight. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 5 in the Word of God this evening. I do want to take just a moment and welcome those who are visiting with us tonight. We do welcome you here to the services of Cross Point Baptist Church, and thankful that you have chosen on a Wednesday night to come and to worship our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Jesus Christ tonight. We always take time at the beginning of the service just to pause and pray for some special needs that are taking place right here locally, but then also around the globe. And then over the next couple of moments, we've been in a series now. Really, this is part 28 of this series. And we just have this week and one more week, and we'll be through this entire book of 1 Thessalonians, just really looking at it verse by verse through the Word of God. And I trust that we have grown in it. And what I love about expository preaching is it really does allow us to dig in and to look at, historically speaking, what's taking place, exegeting the Word of God in such a way that we can grow, we can apply it to our lives, so we can walk out of these doors changed in a different light. And I do want to say this as we tune in tonight, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I don't know what kind of day you've had. Maybe you've had a bad day. Maybe it's been an incredible day. Super cold this morning. It was nice this afternoon. Super cold right now. I mean, it's this back and forth. But I will tell you this, coming on a Wednesday night, it allows us to recalibrate through the week. It allows us just for the next couple of moments just to put away the worries, the concerns, the craziness that we went through today and Tuesday and maybe even Monday. And now we get to concentrate on our Savior. And I want to thank all the parents tonight that have brought your kids. And we have some incredible workers back there that are teaching our kids about Jesus, and our teenagers tonight with Pastor Blake. And we get to come in here and for the next couple of moments look at this passage of Scripture. I hope and trust that you've been in prayer that the Lord would meet with us tonight. Let's all stand, if you would, please. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 5. As you look here at chapter number 5, I do want to remind us this evening, we're going to start a series. We've really been advertising it that we're going to start this month, but have decided Pastor Dan's going to preach for us twice this month, and so it's kind of placed us back just a little bit, but really at the end of this month, beginning in April, right after revival services, we're going to dig into a series and looking at discipleship. And I don't want us to look at that series, as I look around this room, how many have been saved for at least 30 years? Would you raise your hand? 30 years or more. Now, I want you to raise your hand and keep it up for just a moment. My hand is raised. I've been saved for 30 years or more. Now, I want everybody to look around the room, okay? Your hand is raised. Look around the room. Now, we have a lot of people that have been saved for 30 plus years. We have a lot of people that have not been saved for 30 plus years. We have some that have been saved for only 3 months. When we talk about discipleship, I'm going to preach on a Sunday evening here, setting kind of foundation of where we're going to go with this series. But I don't want you to look at it and think, well, okay, we'll tune in kind of via live stream and watch Wheel of Fortune at the same time, because we've been saved for 30 years and we don't really need to learn how to take somebody through the Word of God. But we do. We need it. We need to grow. And the Word of God is sharp and it's powerful and it's moving even in 2022. And at times, as a local church, we have to be reminded that we all have a responsibility. Not just the pastors, not just the deacons or Sunday school teachers. We all have a responsibility. And I'm excited preparing these messages. And I want you to bring a friend. Invite somebody. This is a perfect opportunity. So a lot of people work on Sundays. But 7 o'clock, a lot of people are off work. And that neighbor that you've been after, that coworker, invite them in for this series. They're going to learn a lot. And if they're not saved, let's pray that they get saved through this series. People get saved on Wednesday nights. God can save any time of the day. Amen. And let's be praying for that series. Going to start here very soon. 1 Thessalonians 5, would you look with me at verse number 19? Verse number 19 of chapter 5. The Bible says this: quench not the Spirit. Verse number 19, would you read this verse out loud with me? Ready? Begin. Quench not the Spirit. This evening, we want to once again dive into this passage of Scripture. I'm going to lead us through just 4 points, and then we'll dive right into our last point and really divide it up into 2 sections. We'll get through one tonight. It's just going to be exciting to dive in. Father, as Brother Mancroni prayed just a couple of moments ago, there's a lot that's taking place around the world. And Lord, we need you. Father, there are many Christians that live in the United States that are living in complete fear right now. They rode past the gas pump tonight. They saw it, I think, right around here, around 425. The average, groceries going up. There's unrest around the world. Father, we're talking about COVID in the fall. Lord, my goodness, when I talk about it, Lord, I can almost get depressed in talking to you about it. But Father, we know that you are sitting on the throne tonight. You're not surprised or shocked. Father, you've got it all in your hand. So Father, help us to have a childlike faith, knowing it's going to be okay. We have heaven as our home and it's coming. We know the signs. There's wars, rumors of wars, famines, hurricanes, tornadoes. Lord, like it's all listed in your word and we're living through it. It's very exciting, Father. Help us at Crosspoint not to become discouraged, depressed, or down. But Father, may we be encouraged tonight in your word that you've got it all. We love you, Savior. In your son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we look at this passage of scripture, we've been reminded over the last several weeks that really this is the example church. And Paul heading into really this last final exhortation, Paul begins to talk about a strong behavior. These are these concluding exhortations from Paul. Paul is going to begin to walk us through kind of how you and I as Christians are to behave, not just 2,000 years ago, but really how you and I ought to behave today. We saw how, first of all, we are to be alert and awake. We are to have the armor of God and how to behave with that armor on. And then number four, over the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about how you and I are to act, that acting, these final or closing encouragements on how a believer is to conduct themselves. Well, we saw, first of all, in verses number 12 and 13, how we are to act towards church leaders. And then we saw in verses number 14 and 15, how we are to act towards each other. This would be our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is how we are to treat each other. And then we saw, beginning last week, how we are to act towards God. And again, these are several strong exhortations that are given to govern our lives and how you and I are to behave or how we are to act towards our Abba Father, towards our King. We saw, first of all, last week, we saw rejoice evermore. Look with me at verse number 16. Rejoice evermore. Therefore, we are encouraged to always rejoice. Therefore, now watch. We can't lose this again. I mean, it's only been 7 days, but to be honest with you, as Christians, this is not always easy. Now, hold on. Let's get all quiet tonight. It's not always easy. We live in a world where we are constantly bombarded with negativity. We are constantly bombarded with bad news. We are constantly bombarded with sinful actions. We are living in a spiritual warfare all the time. And yet you and I are encouraged when it comes to our behavior towards God, the way that you and I are to act is rejoice evermore. Therefore, you and I ought to live in a constant praise. You and I are living with a rejoicing and not just jumping on social media and complaining and talking to our coworkers and families and even folks in the church and a constant negativity and a constant complaining. But no, there ought to be a part of our life where we are rejoicing. I'll say it. Listen, I'm going to say it last week. I'll say it again this week. We're good at complaining. We are awesome at doom and gloom, but you and I have never been told to prepare for the Antichrist. You and I have been told to go out and to win the world for the Lord. Therefore, we are not to be, let's not be prepping and get ready. You and I are going to be raptured out of here, friend. When those seals begin to be open, you and I are gone. We are premillennial. We believe, we are pre-trib. We believe that we're going to be raptured out. Anybody with me tonight? Say amen. Therefore, we can rejoice. We can be happy. We can be exciting. Why? We're living in the last days. How many would say by an amen tonight, God is good? Would you say amen tonight? Boy, he is good. So let's rejoice in that. Look at verse number 17. Pray without ceasing. Therefore, you and I are to act towards God. Our behavior is we are praying. We are talking to him. prayer is God's ordained way for man. God's ordained way for man, you and I, to receive things from him. It's communication. It's God's movement. It's God responding. It's God speaking to you and I. But not only that, it's you and I speaking to him. Prayer is a law that he has established throughout the universe. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. I want to encourage you tonight. I'm not going to stop here for time's sake. But may you and I always be encouraged to talk to the Lord. We become good at Christians and talking to everybody else. I got a problem. Oh, I got to go to this person. I'm going to go to this person. I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to get involved here. But you and I ought to be encouraged. The very first person you and I ought to talk to is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're with me tonight, say amen. Man, talking to him, communication. Verse number 18, look at it with me. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, this is where we stopped last week. And you and I, thirdly here, and our response to God and the way that we are to act towards him is we are giving thanks in all things. Again, this is something we struggle with as Christians. Now, we said it last week, and I want to pose the question once again for our visitors that are here. How can we thank God for terrible trials? How can we thank God for terrible accidents? And how do we thank God for death? And how do we thank God even in a season of sin? How do we thank God for that? Well, we don't. This is not what the scripture is saying here. Remember, we're reminded what God wants us to do is to thank him for his presence and for his power in such dark times and in such trials. In Christ Jesus, there is victory over all. No matter how terrible the circumstance, no matter what you and I are going through, there is victory in Jesus. Therefore, in everything, not for everything, but in everything that you and I walk through, we are to thank God for the victory that he has given us in Christ Jesus. In everything means this. No matter what you're struggling with this week, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what somebody has hurt you or talked about you, or perhaps you've gone through the doctor and, man, it doesn't look good, or perhaps you've been just enthralled with this war that's going on. And all of a sudden, we begin in this mode of, well, I guess I have to thank God for this. And we almost get a bad attitude, but we don't. We can thank God that he is the captain of the ship, that God is still in control. He is the king. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is all. He is everything. He is Jesus. And so therefore, we know the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you and I that are saved. He is going to walk us through this tough time. So therefore, even in a season, the Bible says, the ebb and flow of life, that tough time, you and I can still give him thanks. I don't want to give him thanks. I don't like this season. I get it. Nobody wants to thank God for a car accident. Nobody wants to thank God for bad news. But we can thank God that in the season of that bad news, he has not given up on you and I. He has not left us. He is a faithful friend. He is going to be with us in the bad times and the good times. Therefore, Christian, can we not give him thanks? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What's the will of God? We saw last week. It's the three things we just talked about. We can pray without ceasing. We can rejoice. We can give him thanks. Those that encompass, watch now, is the will of God for each of our life. I just can't find the will of God. We were just handed it to us very easily. All three of these verses, we can memorize very simply. That's the will of God for our life. Well, this young person is trying to feel the will of God, and they can't find the will of God. And we almost act as though, Pastor Defoe, do we not? We act as though God is this big bully up there, and he's got this carrot out there. Ooh, see if you can get it. Ooh, see if you can get it. And we're out there. Oh, I can't find the will of God. Oh, where's the will of God? Oh, God is just so mean. Let me catch my breath. Okay, let me try. No, that's not it at all. God has given it to us. What is it? Rejoice. Give thanks. Pray without ceasing. What's the will of God for our life? even in the bad times, we can still give him thanks. Why? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, like I said, this, thy word, it changes not. God doesn't change, friend. He is the same and he is alive. Therefore, you and I can give him thanks. Now look at verse number 19. It says this. Quench not the spirit. So here we have this fourth kind of encouragement of how you and I are to live our life. And the Bible begins to talk about not suppressing the spirit. We're not to quench the spirit. To quench in our English language means to stifle, to snuff out. Watch this, to stop. The Holy Spirit gets some of, I don't know how to say this, but really in our American culture, and Carrie, we were just talking about this the other day, the Holy Spirit really does get some of the worst press imaginable. It just does. The Holy Spirit is vastly overlooked. In TikTok world, some of you may not understand that. He is, and even in Instagram world, he's really almost kind of made fun of. And I guess it's used in light. If you've made a video like that, it's not that I've watched you make that video. And so I'm just going to say it plain tonight. The Holy Spirit, watch now, doesn't need to be activated. The Holy Spirit doesn't need to be made fun of. The Holy Spirit really, truly, in a Christian's life, ought to be honored. The Holy Spirit indwells us. The Holy Spirit is working in the life of a believer to lead him to do God's will. We've just seen some great encouragements of talking to God, of praying, of thanking him, of rejoicing. And that's the will of God. And if that's the will of God, then the very next verse is building upon it, that if the will of God is not acted upon, there can come a quenching of the Holy Spirit. There are often those in our lifetime that we will face that will come and say, I don't feel saved anymore. I feel like I have lost my salvation. And I know there are great movements out there today that are teaching and preaching that you can lose your salvation. But friend, as your pastor, I strongly believe in eternal security. I strongly believe once saved, always saved. If you truly gave your heart to God, the power that saved you is the same power that keeps you saved. I believe it's doctrine. I believe it's the word of God. And we've gone over it over and over on Sunday night. Back in the summer, but let me put it this way. The believer cannot lose his salvation, but there can be a quenching of the spirit. The communication's not right. How many parents or grandparents in here, your kids, your grandkids ever came home, they did something wrong at school. You didn't get a call from the teacher or a principal. They didn't even tell you that they did wrong. But you look at them and you know something's not right. Anybody in here with me? Go raise your hand. Anybody up here? Yeah, okay. Like two or three of you? Wow, we got some work to do. I guess it's only our kids, Carrie. But nonetheless, we all really have. If you've been around kids, you know they've done something wrong. Why? The spirit's wrong. My kids they're little sinners. I'll just tell you. Anybody who ever set this up, that preacher's kids have got to be perfect. You ain't going to find that in the Word of God. I can assure you, okay? They're sinners just like you and your kids, okay? So before you pick on, but let me tell you this. Tommy, Lois, London, Nora, Rose, they've done wrong. They've done wrong at school. They've done bad things at home. They're sinners, okay? They've been disciplined. I brought them up. But comprehend this, especially women, I don't know what it is, but moms can especially tell when something's not right. Doesn't mean that these little sinners, Tommy, Lois, London, Nora, Rose, doesn't mean that they've done something wrong and they're no longer part of my DNA. They didn't lose their shepherd name, but there's definitely a quenching of the spirit. Something's not right. We've got to make this right. You growing up and your parents just, especially your mom, I don't know, my mom knew. It's just weird, man. I'm telling you, my mom, some of you have met her. She's just something else, man. She just, in all eight of us kids, she could just tell something was not right. Anybody else have a mom like that? Demonic? I'm just joking. And like different. Like, I mean, she just knew. Just knew. And we had ever just like, how does she know? We're all whispering. I don't know. Did you tell? No, I didn't tell. Did you tell this? I must have got a call. I don't know. But nonetheless, they knew. The Holy Spirit in our life can be quenched as well. The Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit can be quenched. How? There can be an ignoring of the Holy Spirit. We've just been encouraged to talk to our Savior, pray without ceasing. Do you know the Holy Spirit can be ignored? The Holy Spirit can be quenched by sin. There's sin in a person's life, sin in your life. You know, there's not a great relationship with God. And, oh, I just want to sing about, oh, victory in Jesus. Boy, this is going to be so good. When sin's in your life, no, you don't want to open your mouth. You don't want to sing about him. You don't want to be in service. You don't want to hear the preaching. You don't want to be around God's people. Why? There's a stifling there. The Spirit doesn't have that free reign. Of the Spirit, by being ignored, by sin, not listening to the will of the Holy Spirit. What's the will of the Holy Spirit? What we have just read, what we've been going over for 2 weeks. We don't follow God's will for every believer's life. Comprehend this. There is going to be a quenching of that Spirit. Now, again, we don't lose it. And then we got to get saved. And then we got to get baptized. And then we got to be in church. Let's be honest. If we believe that you could lose your salvation, dude, our salvations at Crosspoint would be off the chart. We would have thousands of salvations in 2022. We'd still have 400 members, but we'd have thousands of salvations. I'd get nothing done. I would be in that baptism every week. Brother Titus again. Mrs. Titus again. Carrie, no, I'm just telling you, I just say it'd be over and over and over. Like, I mean, I'd be dunking myself. Like, oh, let's just get this over with. I mean, over and over. Why? We don't lose it, but we can quench it. I mean, I encourage us this evening, constantly be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Constantly watch the Holy Spirit and the moving of the Holy Spirit. If there comes a time in your life where you're going through messages, you're in your Bible reading, you're going through, and all of a sudden you're thinking, I just don't feel like I'm communicating. Well, then be like David. Search me, O God. Try me. See if there be something wicked way in me. I never do anything bad. I'm not a sinner. Well, okay. Your pride's got a hold of you. Stop for a minute. Begin to look at, humble ourselves. We must decrease. He must increase. Does this make sense tonight? Would you say amen? We're looking at and we're growing. We have to be careful not to quench him. Listen to the context above. Watch now. The command to quench not the Spirit is surrounded by a series of positive commands. The whole context, rejoice, pray, giving thanks. These are positive. These are good. Giving thanks, we're rejoicing. These are easy. When we live with these commands, it will be much more difficult to quench the Spirit. This is where 21st century Christendom really gets off. We almost, especially, and you know me by now, I am a Bible believer. I believe in the canon of Scripture. I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. I believe the fundamentals of the faith. What's the fundamentals? I believe in a virgin birth, and I believe in eternal security, and I believe in the canon of Scripture. Anybody else out there with me? We are fundamentalists then. So comprehend this. Watch now. We can get off in Christianity today where we put Christianity in a negative light. We put it in like a light of, well, quench not the Holy Spirit. Well, how do I do that? Don't sin and don't do this and don't watch this and don't listen to this. Don't hang around them. We can browbeat our kids. Don't. Go to camp. Do this. Be this. Do this. Be in a while. And it's almost like this. Oh, I can't wait till I'm 18, right? I have to be under such pressure and such bondage. Let me tell you something. You know the Jesus I know is not bondage, it's freedom, friend. And when we begin to look at, watch, when we begin to see the encouragement of rejoice, pray, give thanks. How do you, if Brother Fisher, let's be honest. If I give you $1 million tithe, but then I give you $1 million, would you be pretty thankful? Wouldn't it, Brother Fisher, be kind of hard to give thanks with a bad attitude for $1 million? It would be. That's not a trick question. Mindy, of course, we're going to give you $1 million, man. You'd be like, oh, yeah, let's do it. Praise the Lord. Shoes, I give you $1 million. We'd be hugging. We'd be shaking hands. You give me $1 billion, I'm going to be your best friend. Come on, bring it on. Like, $1 million, we'll be thankful. Praise the Lord. Nobody, giving thanks is not a negative. Thanks God for salvation. I get thanks a lot, I guess. I mean, on a cross, I wasn't really there, but I appreciate it. I'm glad I don't get to go to hell. That's a good thing. I take it. No, this is incredible. This is wonderful. We get to rejoice in who he is. We get to give thanks. Why? He's always with us. Watch out. We're not going to quench the Holy Spirit. Why? We're following the will of God for our lives. When we begin to share to a younger generation, that means this, a generation of new Christians, it's not bondage. It's not wearing you out. It's not, oh, woe is me. It's not coming to church and follow 50 different guidelines with 50 different ways with 60 different preferences. No, when we meet Jesus, our life changes for the good. And when we realize it's for the good, check it out, is positive. That means when a kid goes away from college, he wants to be back in God's house. Why? It's positive. It's incredible. I don't have to live in sin. I don't have to hang around the darkness. I don't have to be in negativity. We get to come in these four walls, and we get to rejoice, and we get to praise him, and we get to talk to him, and we get to hear the preaching, and we get to get right. Is somebody with me tonight? Amen. That's God. That's our Savior. To be honest with you, that's the local church, or at least what local church is meant to be. Friend, when we get back to the Bible, when we get back to the basics, sometimes it's going to mess with our theology. But friend, when you go by this word, it's not, oh, I can't quench the Spirit. Okay, God, show me what I did. Oh, I can't do that either. Oh, no. We get to rejoice. We get to praise. We get to give thanks. We get to talk to. We get to communicate. We get to communicate with the God who created the universe. I don't care what the Children's Museum, they just came out. They walk in there and hear about 80 million trillion years ago, you know, there were dinosaurs and this little, you know, amoeba and then blah, blah, blah. No, hold on. I don't believe in evolution. I believe in Genesis 1:1. And the God that created the universe lives inside of my heart, and I get to communicate with him. How's that bad? It's not. It's very encouraging. Look at verse number 20. Verse number 20 says this, despise not prophesyings. So now we're not to despise these prophetic utterances. You see, in the New Testament, these prophetic utterances can refer either to the spoken word or it can refer to written words. Now, in this verse, the verb form means to speak or to proclaim publicly. Thus, the gift, watch now, a prophecy is the Spirit-endowed skill of publicly proclaiming God's word. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. You see, in the New Testament, we see in the book of Luke chapter number 2 at the end of that chapter. We also see in the book of Acts, there were those in the Word of God, the New Testament prophets, that were delivering this brand new revelation. That means this, they were prophesying what God had directly given to them. They were going to proclaim this. Acts chapter number 15, we see that. But then also in the New Testament, there are other times that they would reiterate or they would proclaim this divine proclamation that had already been recorded for them. We find that throughout the New Testament in several portions of Acts, many different passages in Luke and chapter number 24, 25, 26, especially in the book of Acts. It's not just a proclamation that's directly given, but it's a prophesying of reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto me to edification and exhortation and comfort. Now watch very carefully. We are not to despise, to hate, to bad attitude. I don't like it. Listen, watch. Both proclamation and prediction are going to be included in this gift of prophesying. A person is not to minimize or to despise the gift despite the abuse of this gift by many living in the last 20 years. You and I are not to despise it. No, we are to hang on to it. A proclamation or a prophesying could be someone who takes the very word of God and is prophesying what the word says. Again, I said it earlier, I'm a Bible believer. That means this: I believe that this book that I hold in my hand is infallible, it is inerrant, it is wholly inspired, and it is wholly preserved down through the ages for you and I to hold the canon of Scripture in our hand. Therefore, if I really believe that, what I am going to preach is going to be what is found from Genesis to Revelation. What is then preached from a pastor or a teacher ought not to be despised. Why? Because it's the very word of God. Now, this is abused nowadays. The despiteful attitude comes in when the word of God is added to. This is how, again, we don't have our young people in here, so I think I can speak a little bit clearly tonight. This is how we're losing a whole generation of young people, because the word of God has so been added to. Do this, do this, do this. We have treated preferences as standards as if it's the word of God. And then all of a sudden there becomes this despising. Well, mom, dad, can you show me in Scripture? No, you just believe me. Pastor, can you show me in Scripture? No, just do as I say. And all of a sudden there's a despising. I don't want to hear it. Yo, we ought to desire. What does thus saith the Lord? What does the word of God say? Friend, if anyone, I'm just warning our congregation tonight, it's part of my job. If anyone comes to you and speaks as though God has given me extra curricular revelation that is to be added to the word of God, friend, you and I have to be careful. The Bible's complete. I know we have young Christians in here. Let me put it this way. The moment that Pastor Shepherd steps in this pulpit and says, well, congregation, flock, brethren, children, friend, neighbors, family, I know it's not found in the word of God, but God came to me in a dream, and so I think we ought to take this real serious. Friend, do not drink the Kool-Aid. Kick me out of this church and move on for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the complete canon of Scripture. It's complete. It's here. We don't need to add to it, but let's not despise the preaching or teaching or even the principles that has been laid out for you and I in the very word of God. Amen? Let's not despise it. Look at verse number 21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Now we are encouraged to prove all things. We're going to hold fast to what? Just everything? No. We're going to prove, and then we're going to hold fast to that which is good. The word prove here means to test. We're going to test it and then prove it. We are not to blindly accept what people say, even if it is a televangelist, an evangelist, a preacher, a deacon, a servant of God. We're not to blindly accept it. Neither are we to blindly accept people themselves. No. Every person, what they say and what they do, has to be tested and proven. What is taught needs to be measured. Okay, now hold on. Don't lose me here. I get it. It's 7:48. I'll be done here in a minute. I know we've covered a lot, but we've got to. I've only got two messages left, so check it out. Buckle your seatbelt and let's get through this. Now watch. How do we measure it? Well, somebody say it out loud. How do we measure it? How do we prove something? Thank you very much. Brother Geiger holds up his Bible. Friend, that is the only way. Okay, well, let's prove it. Well, those of you who are born in the 1960s, you're going to prove it a lot differently than those born in the 1980s, 1990s, 1970s. Those of you who have grandkids and those who have not even been married in this very room, or those who have just been married, or those who have just been saved, or those who have been saved for 50 years. If we're going to say, let's prove all things, all right, what is everybody think tonight? Holy mackerel, friend. We're going to be here for years trying to get, we're going to argue over what rejoice means. Well, I think it means, we're just going to go around the room. No, if we're going to prove all things, how are we going to do it? We're going to measure it by what does the Word of God say. The only way to know truth from error is to know Scripture. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Watch this. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now the exhortation is, when a person or truth is proven, what do? Then we hold fast to it. We hold fast to all that is good. We learn from that person. We grow from that word. We don't let that doctrine go. We don't let that theology go. We don't let Christ's teachings go. Why? It has been proven through his word. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 6. But Christ is a son over his own house. Whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, affirm unto the end. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Watch this very carefully. Let us hold fast our profession. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. It's what I love about the very word of God. The word of God is this. The word of God lays it out for you and I, and then you and I prove it through the word of God. And when it's been proven through the word of God, then watch now, we don't let it go. Grab it. Love it. Hold it. Watch this. At times, defend it. I know my Redeemer lives. I know he is sitting on a throne. I know my Savior. I know Jesus. Let me tell you something. I can prove it, and I'm going to hold fast to it. Well, can you really prove it? The History Channel said, National Geographic said. I don't care what they said, what Dr. So-and-so said on National Geographic. I know what the Word of God says. I'm going to prove it, and I'm going to hold fast to it. Is there room to wiggle around? Not when it comes to the foundation of the Word. There's not. There is salvation through faith alone. Well, you know, I know that, you know, so-and-so said, maybe even Oprah years ago said that, you know, there's many ways to heaven. Okay, I don't care what anybody says. I want to know what God says. And he says, there is one way, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ alone. That's it. You know how we can prove that? The word of God. Then what do? Hold fast to it. Yeah, but so-and-so said that, you know, there's this new thing, and the church down the street preaches, and they said this. And okay, well, let's prove it. I don't want to prove by just who lived yesterday. I want to prove it by who lives today, Jesus. Amen. And his son. The room for, you know, well, is this questionable? You know, some in here tonight are wearing ties and others are not, and some wearing jeans and some are doing this and some don't. Okay, is there room to give without a doubt? When I talk to people, I always say, let's go back to Scripture. And is there going to be room? Go back and read Romans 14 tonight. Yes, there is going to be some room, some wiggle room. Some are going to eat herbs. Some are going to drink this. Some are going to do this. Some are going to hold fast to the holy day is on Saturday or Sunday. Okay, there's room, and there's going to be some give for our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially a weak brother. But comprehend this, when it comes to the foundation of the Word, we have to prove it somewhere, and it has to be the Word of God. I'm not interested in arguing over the nuances of the day. And well, should we use this? And I don't know, TikTok, I heard that it's bad. And Twitter said this. And they listen, if every new thing comes out, we're just going to preach on it because it's new. I'll be honest, in 10 years, we're all going to be doing it. Was it wrong then or is it wrong now? Was it wrong? I don't want to argue that. I want to know what the Bible says. What does Jesus say? We get back to that foundation. Whew, it's pretty easy. In fact, it's honestly a really awesome way to live. Because I'm not sitting here, Miss Darlene, arguing with the Rogers, and then Mike and Judy were over here arguing, and then you don't get along with the Rogers because they don't agree, and we don't, and you think salvation's this way, and you think salvation's this way, and they think this, and so, well, what do? Oh, we got to prove. The Bible says prove. So, anybody got a coin? Does anybody have a coin? Okay, here we go. Ready? The crampies win. Whoa! No, we don't have to do that. We can just get back to the Word of God. Now, watch, and we'll be done tonight. Verse number 22, let's end here. Abstain from all appearance of evil. We are encouraged to abstain. Note closely that this exhortation says this. It doesn't say just abstain from evil, but to abstain from the very appearance. From all appearance. Watch it. You ought to underline that. Of evil. If something even appears or borders on evil, then we're to get away from it. If there is any chance whatsoever that it could be wrong, then we leave it alone. If there is a suggestion that it could be sinful, then the Bible says, watch now, that we are to abstain. You know what abstain means? Like, have nothing to do with it. Now, time out for just a second. So let's look at this. A believer must have nothing, absolutely nothing to do with evil or the appearance of it. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 11. Let him eschew, that means turn away from, shun evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Psalm chapter 34 and verse number 14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace, watch now, and pursue it. Remember now. We have to take this verse into context. You see, all of these exhortations, Paul's writing here, the Holy Spirit used him, and we have it built upon. If there was ever, now listen, I'm not saying it's the one, but in my Christianity, if there was ever a verse that is grossly misquoted or taken out of context, it is the verse that we just read. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, hold on just a moment. We cannot take this and all of a sudden, we're going to, I have just a second to build this, and then let's just dive into prayer. So watch out. We cannot take this verse and just apply it to everything that we want to say is evil. It's grossly misstated. Well, we shouldn't do that. Well, why not? Well, the Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. Okay, but what's the appearance? Well, you know, our kids can't play darts. Okay? Just to be honest with you, not at Crosspoint, but I've heard this before. They can't play darts. Well, why? Well, it has an appearance of evil. Like, I'm literally, some of you are looking at me like, oh, I can't wait to hear this. Like, I was sat there too. I when I was unsaved, I used to be in the bars, and I'd get drunk, and I would play darts, and it has an appearance of evil. Okay? We can't have pianos in church. Miss Kristen, sorry. They're getting rid of them. That's it. They're done. Why? Because the Bible says right here, and I quote, abstain from all appearance of evil. And pianos are used in a bad way. We know people who are not good, and they sing rock and roll, and they use pianos. And so we've got to abstain. That's it. It's done. Sorry, church. A cappella. Sing it out. Here we go. Ready? Okay, now see what we're doing? You can't have that haircut. Why? Abstain from all appearance of evil. I saw Justin Bieber have that haircut. Well, you can't sing that. Okay. All of a sudden, over and over and over again, we start using it to build up. Some of you like that, Justin Bieber. We start building up, and what are we doing? We're proving what we want. You can't have that Facebook. Why? Well, there's bad stuff on there. Is there bad stuff on Facebook? Yes, there's bad stuff on Facebook. Bad stuff on Facebook. Well, then we got to abstain from all appearance. There's bad stuff at the gas station where you pumped your gas and where you pay your cell phone bill. They support very bad groups. And where we get our water and our electricity and the very clothes you made was probably made in a country that does very bad thing and suppresses Christianity. All of a sudden, abstain from all appearance of evil. Whoa, we don't have the Garden of Eden to go back to, friend. How do we live in this world? We go back to the verse before. We have to prove. How do we prove? By the Word of God. And when the Word of God lays out that this is wrong, we abstain. We get far away from it. We don't want anything to do with it. Is the Bible clear that murder is wrong? Yes or no? Amen? Yeah. So therefore, anything that has to do with abortion, I want to abstain far from it. Yeah, but woman's rights. Yeah, but no. I want to be far away from it. Ladies, if you're in here tonight and you've had abortion, this does not mean you can't be saved. No, sin is a sin is a sin is a sin. Aren't you thankful that God forgives us of all of our sins? Amen? Cleanses from all unrighteousness. So I just don't. Marriage is between male and female. And God created male and female. Therefore, this whole transgender thing that's going around, this pastor doesn't want anything to do with that. I don't want to accept it in here. I don't want to open up our bathrooms to men and women. You know, why? I want to abstain from something that God has set out in his word. But love is love, and can't we just, look, I'm going to say it because this might go on, it'll be on live stream. Any gay person in this area is more than welcome to come to Cross Point Baptist Church. We welcome them to this place. Absolutely. Walk in here, I'll be honest, I'll say it tonight. Carrie and I will take you out to eat. A lesbian or gay wants to walk in here, we will take you out to eat, we'll eat with you. Why? Sin is sin, friend. But let me tell you, I'm not going to be accepting of it. Why? Because God has laid out. Genesis chapter 3, male and female, he created he, them. For what? For the reproduction of the human species. Therefore, what are we going to do? We're going to prove it in the word. And even if something is Satan is so good at, borderlines it, we're going to stay far away. You see what I'm saying tonight? Let's not walk in all of a sudden. Pastor Foe, you live this way. Bruce and Gail, you live this way. Bible says, yo, hair is an honor. So, Brother Bruce, you got bald head. Brother Brian, you got bald head. This is not good. Well, it has to be for a female. Well, I don't. Abstain from all appearance of evil. You need to get a toupee on. Like, this is craziness. It's craziness. I hope you don't mind me saying that tonight. You guys look awesome. But hold on. Whoa. But we're good at it. Boy, we're good at it. We walk in here. We have to dress a certain way. We have to sing a certain way. We have to raise our kids a certain way. We have to read this a certain way. We have to do this. We have to drive a certain way. We have to buy a certain way. We have to boycott a certain way. And all of a sudden, we start heaping on one verse, and who are we proving it by? We're not interested in man's religion. We are interested in the inerrant word of God. We got to preach it. We got to teach it. We got to lean on it. Why? After we prove it, we're going to hold on to it. And then anything that borders mocking or going against what lives in here and what this says, we're going to stay far away from it. Far away from it. Why? Let God be true and every man a liar.